Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to get ahead or just keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape. Welcome to From Carpool to College. I am Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Haritz.
We're from Academic Mentoring LLC, and today we're going to talk about the college fair.
Yes.
Tara just recently brought her daughter to a college fair, and while it's still fresh, we thought this would make a great episode.
Yep.
And we didn't talk about it too much. She started to talk about it. I was like, oh, how was the college fair, Tara? Then I'm like, wait, no, let's save it. Let's save it for episode 2 of season 2.
Yes, that's right.
And here we are.
Yes.
So today we're going to cover the college fair. We're going to talk about the kind of objectives of a college fair through the lens of a student and through the lens of the college. And we'll talk about some logistics and give you some takeaways in a nice, concise way so that when you go to a college fair, parents, you know what to expect and you can capitalize on the opportunities for your family. So tell us a little bit about this college fair, Tara.
Okay. So it was on a Sunday and it was at a local community college.
Yeah.
And when we got there, we were a little overwhelmed. Not so much me, because I've been to them before, but just walking through the whole big room with my daughter was, you know, I could get a sense that she was feeling it.
So describe the big room. It was in a gymnasium.
Yes.
And as you walked in, you had to
check in,
right?
Yes.
And you tell us about that.
Okay. So before we even got into the building, she had to check in with her phone so that she would get a QR code. And then that QR code would then be scanned by each representative at each table that she visited if she wanted them to scan it.
Exactly. So if we took a little time machine 10 years ago or maybe 15 years ago, the college fair, it's set up like a trade show. So every college has a table with a setup with information. But back in the day, you used to have to fill out an interest card. So there'd be pens at the table with a postcard and kids would write their names down and their address and their email address. Now it's all done digitally through a program called Strive Scan, which I totally wish I invented. Really?
Okay.
It's dumb. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to capture data. And it's just,
And it's quick.
Bink.
So quick.
They just bink, scan them in.
Which makes it for more time to have a conversation with the representative.
Exactly.
Versus sitting there trying to fill it out. So it makes them more efficient in that way. Once we were signed in or scanned in, we made our way around the tables and kind of worked our way through. My daughter was looking for specific schools that she wanted to really visit and find out more information about. And then as we were making our way towards those schools, there were other ones that we had thought about but hadn't had a conversation about in a while. And so she visited those tables as well.
Were they set up alphabetically, do you remember? Or did you not even notice?
I think they probably were set up alphabetically to a point, but then I feel that there were some at the end that weren't done alphabetically.
Yeah, that's because
the reps
didn't get their
in
papers in time. So they were a little bit, that does happen. Because as we have this discussion, Tara, we're going to talk through the lens of the student and the family going through it, but also I'll be the college rep side.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for families to understand that the college fair is just as important to the colleges,
right,
as it is for the families who attend them.
Right. So as we were making our way through, and I was very each table looking and wanted to touch base with so many of the different reps, while my daughter had a very clear vision of those certain tables she wanted to get to. And if you've ever been to a store with your kid, even when they're younger, and you want to look at everything, and they're saying, come on, mom, let's get over here or there. That really was what it was like. And so as we were visiting it, you could see that there were certain tables that really had a strong interest. You know, lots of students were lined up to speak to the representative, and other tables didn't have that. So I was drawn to the tables that didn't have it and wanted to, you know, just touch base with some of those reps. But I was...
But your daughter didn't.
Yeah, no.
No, I also similarly, through the lens of a school counselor,
yeah,
I always want to go to the table where it's just a bowl of breath mints and a admissions counselor just kind of hanging out, smiling, like, please come see me.
Yes.
Right? Because those schools have, they do have so much to offer, but maybe their marketing departments are not as strong as the schools where it's like a bank run.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of those are the hidden gems, right? Those are the ones that we, so as I'm making my way through, of course, I'm looking at it from a parent's perspective as well as a college admissions
specialist.
So I was kind of trying to fill a bunch of different, you know, buckets.
Many hats.
There.
It's hard. It's hard as parent educators to take our educator hat off in these moments and be with the kid and present, but it's impossible.
Right.
So go on.
So this is not the first college fair that my daughter has been to. She's been to school-based ones where they have.
Right.
Because they have a large number of schools that participate in those school ones as well.
Correct. Because the college admissions counselor has to market their school. Yeah. They have to fulfill their outreach. They have to learn about the high schools in their territory.
Right.
So being efficient, instead of going, you know, one day I'm going to go to three different high schools in one area, say, you know, they're all like 20 minutes apart from each other. But how much more efficient is it to say, hey, I'm going to go to North Jersey High School on such and such a day, and there's going to be other schools there. Like it's more efficient for this, for the families, and it's more efficient for the high schools to have to set up the whole thing. Cause it takes energy.
It takes a lot of energy.
So it is very efficient to have these, to have the high schools do, like they call them a mini fair or a college fair. Some are bigger, some are smaller, but the one that you went to was actually a NACAC, which was a National Association for College Admissions Counselors, I think, like the New Jersey chapter. And every state is going to have their own chapter doing that. And that was in person because they have virtual too.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of the virtual. I'm a little virtualed out.
Yes.
I'm virtually virtualed out with that kind of venue. It's powerful in other veins, but for a college fair, it's a lot.
It is a lot. And I don't know how much takeaway there is from the virtual versus the in-person.
Yeah. True.
But sometimes we can't always get
true
schedules. Okay. So we made our way around, collected a bunch of wonderful flyers and cutouts and
any swag, any bags, any pens?
No.
Cheap.
Nope. There were.
It's too bad.
We got a plastic bag.
The original one that's sponsored by some college.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But that's okay.
Water bottle?
No. Nothing. We didn't go at the very start, so that could be. We didn't spend, you know, the full, because I believe it was the 3-hour event.
Mm-hmm.
And our schedule didn't allow us to go right at the beginning. So it could have been that they were all taken at that point. Because
that's what you missed, Tara.
I know. At one table, there was one business card left, and I had to take a picture of the card, which was fine.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. But no problem. But yeah, so that would probably be my first piece of advice, would be if you are planning on going to the college fair, you know, and your schedule allows for it, you might want to go more towards the beginning.
Go early, get better
because
swag.
They also have more stamina at that point. The people that are presenting for the college, they have, you know, they're freshly caffeinated and ready to talk.
Yeah, because the the objective for the college representative there is they're generating those qualified leads. Mm-hmm. So they're keeping track through StriveScan. Mm-hmm. They're also tasked with learning, you know, having their brand presence, right? And also the perception, talking to families about, well, what do you, you know, what do you know about us? Mm-hmm. And it's, that is all about marketing, marketing. Yes, I'm sure you know, as you're tracking, they're tracking their demonstrated interest. And they're also kind of keeping an eye out. They're networking with their buddies. They're really cool people, the college admissions counselors. They're extroverts. They're high energy. Yeah. They're smart. They mm-hmm. love their job. They travel. And they see the same people from other schools. So right. it's like a whole, if I were to do an off, wacky spinoff of a reality show, I think a great reality show would be the culture, a subculture of the college admissions counselors and
That's
how
true.
They all get along, because I've seen a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they're great people and right. they're so much fun. But boy, they're just a really good time.
Every single table that we stopped at, you know, they gave us their time. They talked to us. They were just genuine people, it seemed like. And when we were making our way around, it was getting later and later, and we were there towards the end of the fair. There was something to be said about being there at that moment, because they almost had that, they could see the light at the end of the tunnel,
yeah.
and they were almost more giving away more secrets, if you will. And, you know, okay, you go at the beginning where there's a bunch of students and parents, but at the end, maybe
there was a benefit of being the closers.
The last impression of before they packed up their tables and took all of their flyers back. So anyway, so we made our way around, and we did speak with certain different tables that we felt would be either on her list or at one point we had a conversation about, and my daughter was able to ask some really good questions to kind of just get a better sense of the different majors and some of the things she's interested in, and also think about things that maybe she didn't think about.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, you want those. You're going, if you're headed there, you should, it's not just window shopping.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and being able to, well, just the skill of, as a, you know, high schooler, introducing yourself, walking up to the table, asking the questions, having a conversation, and thinking thoroughly as best you can in those situations, you know, trying to get a better perspective on what they offer.
For sure. Did you notice other families where the parents were doing most of the talking?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. I did notice that. And, you know, these are the opportunities where I take a step back and really wanted her to take the first step.
And right. And we're listening, of course.
It. And
right.
Of course,
yeah.
We're listening.
And you could always chime in for sure.
Yes, of course. And, you know, sometimes the reps would definitely look towards me and ask if I had any questions, or, you know, would speak to me as well, but really she led the process, which was good. She was able to also see just some of the more detail, like some of the details that weren't maybe brought up if she went to one of the college fairs at her school, where it's like a peer population and it was just a different environment. So she was asking questions about, in specific, nursing and where some of those hospitals are located for clinicals and, you know, pass rates of certain tests. And so I thought those were really good things to kind of gather that information.
Yeah, the specific nuances of, like, if your kid knows what they want to study, then ask away. Ask about, you know, if your kid wants to study nursing, ask about, well, is this, you know, is the nursing school even on this campus? And in some cases, it's not, you know, or in the larger schools, you know, is there a hospital on campus, or how many hospitals are on campus, right? I'm thinking about my goddaughter went to Quinnipiac, and that has a great nursing program, but it was, and I'm not getting any kickbacks from Quinnipiac, I'm just saying it because it's my family, but it was a different campus, not too far, and comparing that to, there was a local hospital, but when I visited University of South Florida, there's like multiple hospitals on campus. So like there's a lot of great questions that you could ask specific to what you want to study. And even asking like, hey, should I be, you know, do you recommend I interview? And yeah, you could find that information on the website. But these are just, you know, you, or you may not. I mean, you might not find it readily. You know, would it help if I had an interview?
Right.
Exactly. So those are great, getting those specific questions answered for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, on our way, just to backtrack a little bit, on our way to the college fair, we were talking about, you know, how we would navigate our way through and some of the things that we would talk to the representatives about. And one of the things that comes up all the time, which you talk about, Tracy, is to have that introduction, the elevator pitch.
Oh, yes.
Which is great for not just high school seniors, but everyone.
It's good for everybody.
It is.
For sure. Well, my day job, I work at a career and technical education school. So, and it's very much compartmentalized in different pathways. And, you know, in any school, you want your kid to be able to say, hey, my name is Tracy Amadeo. I attend such and such school, and I'm studying blah, blah, blah. I'll be applying to your school. And what really appeals to me is X, Y, and Z. Like that would be. Just to articulate it, sure. And it's important for, I guess, for all of us, right?
Right.
Think about us like our LinkedIn profiles, right? What are we have a tagline. Like, what's our tagline?
Right.
There are a lot of benefits to start having those conversations. Now, parents, you cannot have these conversations with your kid because you're a mom and you're a dad. And they're like, shut up, mom. Yeah. They don't say it like that, but they do it with their eyes.
Yeah, they do with their eyes.
With their body language. They're like, oh, mom, stop talking. Again, they won't say that with words, but we see this. However, parents, we are tasked with planting those seeds and helping them understand that they should be able to say, whether they're an introvert or an extrovert, at least their name and what they're applying to and where they're going to high school.
Not just, oh, hi, I'm a junior at so-and-so or a senior here.
Yeah.
It needs to be a little bit more than that.
Okay.
So other pregame strategies before we made our way in, we talked about how we wanted to navigate through the different tables. So when we were talking about it, we eventually, when we walked in, we were distracted and went through many of them. But realistically, and Tracy, I think you'll agree, stopping at about maybe eight of them or so is pretty good, because you do hit that, you get a little exhausted, right? And overwhelmed with so many. But to have an open eye, so as you're making your way through, to not be afraid to stop at a school that wasn't one that you had talked about beforehand, or that, you know, was mentioned by your child, to just, you know, have an open mind and not just be with blinders on going to those five or six.
Exactly. So like for New Jersey, I'll say it. Tara's not saying it because she's being careful, but I'll be less careful. So regionally, where we live, families, our students, our kids are applying to the same schools, right? So in North Jersey, we're applying to Rutgers, we're applying to Penn State, University of Maryland, UDell, Syracuse, University of South Carolina. And then we have our higher tier schools like Wake Forest, Boston College, right? So all of these schools are going to be represented at the college fair. Some may not, because they don't need to. They don't need to be drawing up business.
Right.
Because they are already going. For example, University of Texas at Austin, I doubt they were there.
I don't think they were.
They're on almost every list of my top performing clients and students.
Right.
So they don't, I don't even think they have a Jersey rep. I remember when I went down there I have family down in Austin, so I've been down there a couple times. And one time I went and I said, is there a regional rep for Jersey? They're like, oh no, we don't need a regional rep. I was like, oh yeah, because you're Austin and you're amazing. So, but I'm saying all of this, parents, because you're going to go to this college fair, just as Tara did with her kid, and you have those targeted schools, and you want to hit your top schools first, but you're going to see a lot of other schools that you've never heard of. Just because you've never heard of them does not mean they're throwaways. If they're at that college fair, they have had applicants from your region. Now, yes, they're going to try to bolster their admissions. They're going to try to, you know, generate leads. They're going to try to promote and, you know, get the brand awareness out there. But they're not necessarily out of left field. I want to really hammer that away because Tara and I were talking earlier off mic about, you know, maybe it was on mic, you'll be at like one table will be a feeding frenzy of all the kids wanting to get in and get information. But then like the school next door, it's just like crickets, you know, with just their little bowl of breath mints and no one's there. But those schools have merit. So please, please take a look at those schools. And maybe parents, you could take a look at those schools while your kid is online for University of Big School.
Yeah. And at one point,
at one point we
did do that because there was a school, I can't remember which one it was. And we were headed towards the end of the room. You know, as we snaked our way through, and there were some people you could see that were really starting to pack up. And my daughter wanted to head over to one more table, but something caught my eye with the international schools. So I said, well, you go over there and I'm going to stay here and just speak with this representative. But it was great because now I was really not even next to her, and she was able to navigate the whole conversation and introducing herself, getting herself her cell phone scanned, and asking those questions on her own, knowing that I was not too far away, but you know, not listening, and she had to kind of do it on her own, which was good. That was good. That was helpful. Yeah, so that was a good thing. Now, one of the things that comes up is they will, you know, they'll hand you the materials. They'll talk to you a little bit. And Tracy, we've talked about this a little as well, but they will scan you for, some of them do accept or do work on that demonstrated interest.
Oh, yeah.
But to follow up after the fair, right? So once we made our way through and we gathered all our materials, that a lot of them just sat in our home office in a bag still, but that's okay.
We'll
go through them. But then to go and follow up. Now, interestingly enough, that fair really was almost replicated at my daughter's high school 2 days later.
Wow.
So her follow up was able to happen in person again.
That's cool.
Oh, I met you on Sunday. It was great to, you know, meet you and whatnot. But if you don't have that opportunity, and that was just kind of luck, then to follow up with an email.
Yeah. And what Tara and I tell our clients also, a great follow up is to have a resume. And we, all of our clients we work with have resumes. And it's not a resume, parents, like we have for jobs. It's more of a CV. And it's like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. It's like, what clubs am I in? What are my, you know, it's an academic resume, but also has a little personality to it. So it has the student has their name, their email contact information, not their home address, BTW, but their high school graduating class, GPA rank if you have it, test scores if you want to go that way. You don't necessarily have to, but your activities and then like hobbies and things you're interested in. And these are all transferable activities that each college also has, because that college admissions rep has to, you know, sort out, are you legit interested? If I say yes to you, kid, are you going to come to my school? Are you going to jam me up with my numbers? Because I am tasked with creating the class of, you know, whatever, 2030 now, I guess, right? So the class of 2030. It sounds like a sci-fi movie.
It does.
I am from the class of 2030. I've come back. but that's like real.
Yeah.
God. So they're tasked with creating the class of 2030. They need to know, are you going to say yes? Or are you just applying here because your parents are making you?
Right.
and let's make their job easier for them.
Right.
And say yes. Well, or just make them think
yes.
that you're going to say yes to the dress. So by following up with, hey, an email, hey, Stacy, I met you at the college fair at the County College of Morris on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. And love to learn about blah, blah, blah. And your school is like has quickly moved to the top of my list. Here's a little sneak preview of what you'll see on my application. My resume is attached. If you have time, awesome. If not, you'll see it also attached to my application. Have a great day.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
Boom. That's a great way that we encourage all of our clients to follow up.
Right. Exactly.
After the college fair, because that is demonstrated interest with a cherry on top.
Right. Right. So post fair, in addition to that, would be to see if your college list, right, is still the way, you know, if there's any new colleges you were thinking about that you want to add onto the list, or if there's colleges after that that you think, you know, I think I'm ready to take this one off the list. It's not a good fit. Sometimes that could even happen, right?
Oh, yeah. And even the schools, like we talked about, the schools that didn't have a lot of foot traffic.
Right.
That's a great safety school.
Yeah.
So if you get a good read on it, a good feel for it, that could be a great safety school. And considering the state of applications now and how everything is saturated and we have kids with 4.0 GPAs and higher, yes, mm-hmm. higher GPAs mm-hmm. than 4.0 because it's weighted, remember? So they're not getting in.
Right.
For different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Demographics,
mm-hmm.
where you're from, who you are. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have the right activities, or maybe you have the right activities, but it's not a good match. You know, maybe they're the barometric pressure on the day that your application was read was giving the reader a migraine and they only said yes to 5 that day. And your list was your application was in that pile.
Right.
Like that's the arbitrary stuff that happens that we have no control over. And guess what? Then your kid doesn't get into University of Maryland and you thought, according to all of the GPA, all the things that you've read and U.S. News World Report, and you looked at the common data set and you looked at Naviance and score, and you were a slam dunk and what the heck? And now you're in a no. Now you're a N-O, not in the no, you're in the N-O. And you should have, could have, would have, needed to add a couple more safeties.
Mm-hmm.
And in this college application climate, we highly recommend safeties. We highly recommend applying to that neighboring school that might have been right next door to the table that you just walked past.
Right.
So pay attention to them,
mm-hmm.
you know. I kind of think it's kind of like, not necessarily like the ugly duckling who you went to high school with. All of a sudden you go to the 10-year or 20-year reunion and they're just like this beautiful swan. It's like,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I should have paid attention. I didn't even give you a second look and you were this most amazing human being.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, you have amazing schools that you've never heard of. So please pay attention to those schools.
Right.
And get them on your list.
Keep that open mind.
Yes. And post-college fair, it is a great time to think about those schools and go back at the list. Go back mm-hmm. at the online. It'll have the footprint of the, you know, the floor plan of the school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other post-fair objective or, you know, activity to partake in would be the college visits, right? And see when the open houses are. Because during the college fair when we visited, one of the questions that we asked were about open houses and college tours. And they were happening. We had just missed a few or they were just happening. And so it's always kind of good to go back once you go back to that list. If there is new interest in a school, see when they offer those.
Totally. Great questions. And, mm-hmm. You know, here at Academic Mentoring and From Carpool to College, we know you don't have a time machine and we never want you to say, oh my gosh, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the college fair, think through the lens of the student, think through the lens of the college. Think about your kid's elevator pitch, follow up, hit those top schools, and just know, go back and listen to this episode and maybe throw something into AI, get a list, but be prepared. Don't miss out on that opportunity, capitalize on it. So we do want to thank you for listening to this episode. We are delighted to be riding shotgun with you. I am Tracy Amadeo.
Tara Haritz.
We are academicmentoringllc.com. Check us out online. And we are From Carpool to College. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, we'd love for you to be a part of our growing community. Please share and follow our show. For those who want to support us further, join our Patreon site. Your support helps us create high-quality content and great episodes. Plus, our Patreon members get exclusive perks like bonus episodes, early access, and behind-the-scenes content that we think you're just going to love.
And now for some legal stuff. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational entertainment purposes only and is provided as is with no guarantee of accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or outcomes. I could keep going, but I will spare you and I will post this entire legal disclaimer on our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com, under podcast. Tara and I are so glad you joined us today on From Carpool to College. See you next time. Something like that.
Yeah.
Done?
That's good.
Okay, Chris, make that pretty, please. Pretty, please. Make it pretty, please.
I am from the class of 2030. I've come back.